Luke chapter 6, verse 37 to 49. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundations on rock. And when the flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete.
The quite you must have heard of Sermon on the Mount and Sermon on the Plain, because Luke talks about the Lord giving sermon on the plain, but Matthew on the mountain. But while Matthew was writing for Jews to show that Jesus fulfilled the prophecies regarding the Messiah, Luke was writing for the Gentiles to show that Jesus was the mighty Savior of all mankind. Now, the thing is that the same message the Lord gave quite a few times on the mountain, in the plain, while he was in Galilee in those days. And so, and the emphasis Luke puts here, and that's why the title you all have, overall title you have, you are looking at is the sermon, Luke Comes Alive, and the Sermon on the Plain. Last week you covered the first part, and I'm looking at the second one. The Sermon on the Plain, part two. Now, there were a lot of people who were not Jewish people when they were listening to the sermon, this sermon, particular sermon Jesus gave. They were from Tyre and Sidon and all those places that traveled to Galilee area. And they were, and the Lord was talking to them. But the crux of the whole thing is, despite their differences on and emphases, Matthew and Luke were proclaiming the same message, gospel truth. Because the core message of all the sermons Jesus gave was this: the only way to enter God's kingdom is by receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. Receiving him as Savior to be saved, and to listening to him, obeying him, obeying his word, is the thing which will help us to live our life in this world after receiving Jesus. So the first thing we find here: do not judge. Luke chapter 6, verse 37 to 42. What Martin read here, Jesus reminds us that we reap what we sow, and in the amount that we sow. If we judge others, we will ourselves be judged as well. If we forgive, we shall be forgiven. But if we condemn, we shall be condemned to. He was not talking about the eternal judgment, but the way we are treated in this life. If we live to give, God will see to it that we receive. But if we live only to get, God will see to it that we lose. And it's a basic principle, friends. You know, in your life, you know, in Christian life also, you've seen. Quite a few of you are very generous in giving. And you know how God then gives us. You know, when we give, we receive. This principle applies not only for our giving of money, but also the time and giving of ourselves for the Lord's work. Things happen in the church. Do you say that? Oh, I'll help you. Oh, I'll do it. I'll help you in this. Giving ourselves, giving our time, giving our talent when we serve God and serve each other. Then second thing we find that some important lessons for us from verse 39 to 45, and some, of course, still related to judging others, which starts from verse 37. So here in verses 39 and 45, we have four striking figures that teach us some important lessons about serving God and serving others, especially serving one another. As his disciples, we must be sure that we see clearly enough to guide others in their spiritual walk. While there are blind people who have a keen sense of direction, still we know that they can never be hired as aeroplane pilots or wilderness guides. Or, you know, somebody, they can't be hired. A blind man can't take you around and show how lovely this place is, how lovely that place is. And also they can't, you know, fly aeroplane. It doesn't matter how much sense they have or understanding they have. Jesus was referring primarily to the Pharisees who were leading the people astray because of their hypocrisy. They didn't themselves, knowing the law, they didn't follow the law, but they were teaching other people, forcing them to do wrong things and misinterpreting the word of God. And so the Lord was basically talking about them. But then it relates to us as well. If we see ourselves as excellent guides, but do not realize our blindness, we will only lead people into a ditch. So Luke reminds us here in verse 40, chapter 6, verse 40, that we cannot lead others where we have not been ourselves, nor can we be all that our Lord Jesus Christ is, or what he's teaching us here. In fact, the more we strive to be like Jesus, the more our master, our teacher, which these verse 40 talks about, the more we realize that how far short we fall. Perhaps this is a warning against pride. For nothing blinds a person more than like a pride. Continuing the image of the eye, Jesus taught that we must be able to see clearly enough to help our brother or sister see better. It certainly is not wrong to help a brother or sister get a painful speck of dirt out of their eye, provided we can see that we are doing what we are doing. The crowd must have really laughed when Jesus described this eye doctor suffering with a plank eye disease himself, performing surgery on a patient with a speck in his eye. The emphasis here is on being honest with ourselves and not becoming hypocrites. It is easy to try to help a brother or sister with his or her faults just so we can cover up our own sins. People who are constantly criticizing others are usually guilty of something worse in their own lives. A tree is known by its fruit. Verses 33 to 45. The illustration of the tree reminds us that fruit is always true to character. An apple tree produces apples and not oranges. And a good person produces good fruit, not evil. Believers do sin, but the witness of their words and works is consistently good to the glory of God. In terms of ministry, servants of God who are faithful will reproduce themselves in people who are in turn true to the Lord. Often, we all have, you know, we idealize God's people, idealize people who are our spiritual leaders. We have learned a lot from them. We have learned a lot from our parents. Martin was talking about his dad. A lot of things he didn't appreciate then. But now when he looks back, he realizes, wow, all these things I have been able to do in my life because I learned from dad. He taught me this. And the more you do, the more we do, friends, the more we follow the Lord, the people notice. We're not perfect, but people notice, this guy is different. He's got his shortcomings, but he's a godly man. She's a godly woman. The last image is the image of treasury here. Jesus is teaching here that what comes out of the lips depends on what is inside the heart. The human heart is like a treasury, and what we speak reveals what is there. A man who apologized for swearing by saying, "Oh, it really wasn't in me," then his friend turned around to him and said, "It had to be in you, or it couldn't have come out of you." We must be honest with ourselves, dear brothers and sisters, and admit the blind spots in our lives, the obstacles that blur our vision, and the areas within that must be corrected. Then we can be used of the Lord to minister to others and not lead them astray. I always, you know, I was really encouraged by George Verver, talking about 40, 45 years ago, when I came to know the Lord, and then, you know, just listening to him, he used to share from his heart, from his life, the mistakes he used to make, and all sorts of stuff. He used to share, and listening to such a godly man, I learned so much. And I think that really helped me to have the passion for Jesus and keep on going. Such a lovely and humble man of God. So there are a lot of people, and they say that, listen, we know the weaknesses they have, and they're very they're humble about it, and they say, but then they guide us, they say things to us, and we listen to them because they're godly people. Then the third thing Jesus is talking about is God. The first one we saw, do not judge. And then some important lessons related to judging, but also how we can be example and how our life should be portrayed in front of other people. And then he says something, he draws our attention to God, verses 46 to 49. Our Lord's emphasis here is on obedience. It is not enough merely to hear or only to hear God's word and call him Lord. We must also obey what he commands us to do. All of us are builders, friends, here, in a sense. We are building our lives. We are building other people's lives in this world. And we must be careful to build wisely. To build on the rock simply means to obey what God commands in his word. To build on the sand means to give Christ lip service, but not obey his word or his will. It may look as if we are building a strong house, but if it has no foundation, it cannot last. The storm here is not the last judgment, but the tests of life that come to every professing Christian in this world. Not everybody who professes to know The Lord has had a real experience of salvation, dear brothers and sisters. They may have been active in church, or they might be active in church and other religious organizations, but if they are not saved by faith, they have no foundation to their lives. When difficulties come, instead of glorifying the Lord, they desert him, and their house of testimony collapses. Nobody can really call Jesus Christ Lord except by the Holy Spirit of God. As we read in Romans chapter 8 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If Christ is in our hearts, then our mouths must confess him to others. As Paul encourages us in Romans chapter 10. If we are rooted and built up in him, then our fruits will be good. And our house will withstand the storms. We may have our faults and failures, but the steady witness of our lives will point to Christ and honor him. And this is the kind of a blessing, a new blessing that Jesus offered, you know, when he was talking to people. And he offers us today. His words, what he said are so true in our lives, and they're helpful for us today as well. We can experience the heavenly happiness and true blessedness that only he can give. And of course, the basis for all of this is our personal relationship with our personal saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Dr. H.A. Ironside has said, and I love his quotation, "We cannot live the life until first we possess it." So this complicated, there's so many things, and I thought, how can I put it in such a way that we all can get the gist of it? Well, shall we sing the